You can stand, sit, whatever you want to do, okay? One of the older songs, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. All our blessings come from God. When we're Christ followers, he's our Father, and he's going to give us what's best for us. And sometimes what's best for us is not what we think, right? In our culture, I think we have a problem of ungratefulness. The poorest in America would be considered rich in 2/3 of the world. That's a fact. And, we get lost in the materialism and in the everyday stuff. But just to have a home over over your heads, a family, food, and these are things that we take for granted. One of the biggest things that we need to do is thank God for Jesus Christ, because without Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be here. There would be no forgiveness. There would be no hope. I want to suggest to you that our world needs hope right now more than ever. This pandemic is not just the virus. This pandemic is darkness and chaos in our world. You can see it. So Jesus is the only one who offers a solution to that. And it's very simple. He provided the solution. He died for us on the cross so that we can be forgiven and have new life. So as we sing this, let's thank him for all he's done, okay?
Thank you.
We haven't done this, I don't think, since we've been here. We've done a new doxology, but not this one. Well, have we done this? And sometimes if you go to a church where there's a specific liturgy, they do the same type of service every week, you'll sing this before an offering. And it's just a reminder to praise God from whom all things come. It's an old Thanksgiving song. Okay, so would you sing it, please? Prayerfully. Let you in on a little bit of a inside thing. Generally, I have my suit on Sundays, and my pants are structured a little differently. Today, I have these jeans on, and the bass pedal kept getting caught in my leg. So I'm pushing, and nothing's happening. You know, it's one of those things, but it happens. As we go to prayer tonight, I just want to remember those who are struggling with the COVID virus, those who are on the front lines serving people, and delivery people who go into stores day in and day out, right? We have health workers here. Anytime you deal with the public, we have retail workers. You're on the front lines. So we need to pray for that. We also need to pray, I believe, for the American church to wake up. We really need to understand that if we're going to get through this and do it well, we really need God in the picture. So, would you join me in prayer, please? Father, even today I was talking with a man whose older brother is in the hospital battling COVID and in the last stages. And Father, as heartbreaking as that is, we pray that even tonight you might just touch this man and bring healing to him from this virus. Father, there's a lot of people who have lost friends, loved ones, and we lift them up before you, Father. This is a hard, difficult thing. And yet, Father, there are many who risk their lives every day in order to serve others, our health workers, our delivery people, our retail workers, those in the service industry, Father. We pray a hedge of protection around them and their families, Father. We just ask that this thing would come to an end. We reach out to you for that, Father. Science doesn't know everything, Father, but you do. And so we ask that you bring wisdom, your wisdom, that you guide us, and that as we go forward, we would see these cases decline and go away. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things, who's got the clicker? Can I use it? Are you okay with that? Okay. All right. I wiped everything down before we came, and, we transfer stuff sometimes. One of the things that I think the church has to be very careful of in general is we love to sing, right? And that's a good thing. Bible tells us we should. Most of us love music. There are some people who don't. And to them, I would say get used to it, because guess what you're going to be doing in heaven? You're going to be worshiping and singing, all right? But sometimes I think our singing and worship can be misdirected, almost to the point where we think it's all about us. You know what I mean by that? You know, we come to church, and we were supposed to gather in the assembly and worship God. And worship in its purest form, there's two meanings. The word, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, simply means serving God and ascribing to him his worth. Okay? So, I'm going to throw a little bit of a monkey wrench in here. Let me know what you think. You know, you can talk to me. I mean, there's only a few of us here tonight, right? Let me just throw a monkey wrench in. If we were to have a service where all we were allowed to do is give praise to God for who he is, what would you say? All right. Okay. We really should do that. I want you to think about it. I'm going to bring you through Psalm 111. It's not a long psalm. Sharon, take notes, because we're going to be doing this in 2 weeks. Psalm 111 is a psalm of praise, and you can read it along with me if you wish. Right? The first part says, "Praise the Lord. I would extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly." Right? What does it mean to extol the Lord? What do you think that means? Lift up, right? Some versions use magnify, right? I scared myself one time because I got in front of one of those mirrors that magnify your face. Yeah, that's a humbling experience. But if you remember, the commission to Israel was for them to magnify the Lord so that other nations would come to him. That really is the commission to us, too. That's the Great Commission, to magnify the Lord, extol him. How? It says, with all my heart. What does that mean? What does all my heart mean? Yeah, don't hold back, right? It's got to come from the inside. This ought to come from a love relationship with God. Ought to come from deep in our souls to say, Lord, we love you. We love you because of who you are, not because of what you've done for me. We can love him for that. There's nothing wrong with that, but first, for who you are. If you remember the Lord's Prayer from the Sermon on the Mount, where the disciples say to Jesus, teach us to pray, and the prayer starts out with, Our Father who art in heaven. So you speak to the Father about him first. Before we get into anything else, we speak to the Father about him. So I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Where's the assembly? It's us, right? We can worship privately. And this is why I ask you to pray that the governor wouldn't try to shut down churches again. We're not going to shut down. Will it be here in some sense? I'm not sure how that looks like if that order is issued. But the reason is the assembly is important. There's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. Dr. Robert Fucci, who's the pastor of Toms River Community Church, he lives on an estuary in Island Heights. And he raises ducks, right? He has a problem with fox. You know, sometimes in the morning a fox will come, they'll try to get a duck for breakfast, right? Here's the issue. They'll never pick on the ducks when they're together. They'll always go after the one that strays. Always. And that's the one they'll get. And that's why when people, you know, choose to stay away from church. Now, I understand there's some people who work, and it's not possible, that I understand. But when people are able to come to church and stay away from church, it puts them in a weakened position, and it puts us in a weakened position. Because if you're not here, we miss you, right? God put you here for a reason. He put you in this assembly for a reason. So in the next verse, you know, we're going to see some of the things that we can say to God, great are the works of the Lord. When was the last time you saw a sunrise? I mean, some gorgeous sunrise, especially here at the shore, right? A sunset, right? Actually, if you're near a city and it's kind of polluted in the air, it makes the sunset prettier. But there's some gorgeous, God does good artwork. My brother, three times with his wife, drove cross country, to California. And, you know, he took pictures of the Grand Canyon and other sites. I mean, this is all God's artwork. This is gorgeous. Mary Lou and I like to go to the ocean or to the bay in a storm. Just to see, you know, I prefer thunderstorms, but Mary Lou gets a little nervous. We don't go out the car, we stay in the car. Just to see how God has orchestrated everything. If you ever get a chance and you want to do a little bit of a study, read Genesis chapter 1 where God is creating. Every stage of creation provides for the next. And then the next. I mean, it's perfect. This can't happen by accident. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. I shared with Doc when we first met, when I was in pre-med, I had to take anatomy and physiology, two separate courses. And we had to study the systems of the body. You know, we had to know the anatomy and how they worked. And I was agnostic before I came to know the Lord. And I'm looking, I don't want to get gross, we had to dissect stuff. And I'm looking at the systems. I'm saying this can't happen by accident. This is designed so perfectly. This can't happen by accident. And really, that was the beginning of my journey when God started to open my heart. And I was being taught by an MD who was a staunch evolutionist. And I kept asking him, I said, what's the probability of this happening by accident? Well, we don't talk about those things. Well, yeah, we should, because this can. It's impossible. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. What do you think we might have to do to delight in the works of the Lord? What are some of the things we you and I can do? Is there anything? Yeah, you know, there's an old saying, you know, stop and smell the roses, right? If we did that, if we took time even just to do that, there'd be a lot less high blood pressure, a lot less anxiety in the world, because creation shouts to us that God's in control. No matter what the chaos is going on around us, God is still in control. I want to suggest to you that our busyness gets in the way many times, that we all have a lot to do, especially if you're in school or, you know, you work. You're not like a pastor, you only work one day a week, right? However, I think we have to also control, for those who have a problem with the TV, how much TV we watch, because we can go numb doing that, and we just get lost in that. And for those who are addicted to games, right? Nothing wrong with playing games. Marriage counseling after. But, you know, we can get addicted to that stuff, and that distracts us. There's a lot that God gives us to enjoy. He says, great are the works. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. How many of you ladies excluded here, right? Unless you haven't gone through this process yet. How many of you have ever seen a baby being born? I mean, actually seen it, right? That's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's just unbelievable. Mary Lou actually had the privilege of delivering one. And her girlfriends. And I actually had the privilege of delivering two of triplets. One came out by themselves, and by himself, and the other two, I had to assist on it. But it's an incredible miracle when you think about it, the miracle of life, the miracle of life. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. We got to spend just a little time on that, because this is a problem, I believe, in our culture today, and sometimes in the church. God's righteousness. God always does what's right. He can't do anything wrong. That would violate his character. Do we understand that? Okay. His righteousness endures forever. His righteousness is revealed to us in several ways. Primarily through his word, right? And the account of the Gospels especially shows us God in the flesh, Jesus, fully God, fully man. And when you see Jesus, you've seen God. He always does what's right, which means that the Bible was written under the supervision of God the Holy Spirit through a period of 1,600 years. That word will stand forever. The Bible is not something, it's not something that was written and is antiquated now. It is something that is very much needed and true. And you know, if you're in some education settings, or you listen to the media, you know, they'll say, well, the Bible's not relevant today. I want to suggest to you that it's relevant in any age. In any age, any time, anywhere. Because his righteousness endures forever. Let's go on here. He's caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. We'll come back to that in a minute. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. Some of us who grew up, you may remember times where food was scarce. You may remember times where your mother or parents were concerned about where the next meal was coming from. And for us, I know my mom, she would read the Bible every day. And I thought, as a young person, I thought she was crazy, to be honest with you. You know, why did you need that? But she would read the Bible every day. And there were weeks where there just wasn't enough money for food. But she would tell me that, oh, I thought that was my car. She would tell me that God's going to provide. She knows that God's going to. And every week we got through. We got through on God's provision. You know, back then we didn't go to the supermarket and buy for 2 weeks. Back then we went to the market every day and got stuff. I'm not that old, by the way. But that's what we did. And we take his provision now so for granted. And he remembers his covenant. God, there's a lot of promises in the Bible, great promises. And God never forgets his promise. He'll always carry through on his promise. We're the ones that fail. Yeah, we try to get ahead of God because we want stuff from him now rather than waiting in his timing. But he will always keep his promise, always. One of his promises is God is that Jesus is coming back again. Well, he's going to keep that promise. So he provides food for those who fear him. I had a friend who was a missionary in India, and he was from Sweden originally. He went to Moody Bible in Chicago, and they ran out of food. This is a true story. So he and his roommates, he had four roommates. There were five in the house. They stayed all night, up all night, and all they prayed for was butter. This is a true story. They prayed for butter. They said, and they prayed until they had felt the assurance from the Holy Spirit that somehow he was going to provide, which was about 5 o'clock that morning. An hour later, a merchant knocks on their door, and he says, you know, I know you guys are in Bible college. I figured you could use this. And he rolls in a barrel. And Eric, who's a friend of mine, who's the missionary, says, well, what's in the barrel? He said, peanut butter. They gave him a whole barrel of peanut butter. So Eric looks at me and says, when you pray, be more specific. You know, but they appreciated the peanut butter because that's what they had. That's what God provided. He provided it in a wonderful way. So we have to understand and we praise him for his wonders. He's gracious. You know what gracious means? He treats us well even when we don't deserve it. Right? He's compassionate. God understands everything we go through, whether you realize it or not. He understands, especially Jesus. You know, Jesus was tempted in every way and suffered in every way we suffer. How great is that? That God in the flesh was willing to do that to identify with us. And then to know that he keeps his promises. Let's go on. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. He's talking here in particular about how he led Israel out of captivity through Moses out of Egypt. And he gave them a promised land, giving them the lands of other nations. How God kept his promise. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. If there's anything that you leave here tonight, please note that. Well, his word is trustworthy. We can take his word to the bank. It is true. It will always stand true. And it's trustworthy. We really need to recapture that. You know, there are countries in the world that it's illegal to own a Bible. I don't know if you realize that. If you're found with a Bible, you can go to jail. Some countries, like the Sudan, they'll kill you, all right? Turkey is another one. And so what a lot of organizations and churches do is they'll take little pieces of scripture and smuggle it into people. And there's people there who come to the Lord who are so hungry for his word because his word is so trustworthy, they'll memorize it and then destroy it for fear of getting caught. And yet here in our country, we have Bibles. Some of us have 2, 3, 4 in our houses, right? His precepts are trustworthy. And look at this. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. That was Israel. And then us through the cross, right? He ordained his covenant forever. I will never leave you or forsake you, Jesus says. Holy and awesome is his name. I mean, this is good stuff. This is what worship ought to be about, that we have to remember. One of the Psalms that I'm going to be teaching this coming week goes through how God had delivered his people miraculously. And very shortly, they forgot and reverted back to old habits. And God says, what are you doing? Don't you remember what you just went through and how I delivered you? And sometimes he had to let them get pretty low so they would cry out again to God and repent and come back again. He provided redemption for his people. God will never turn anybody away who truly repents of sin or rebellion against him and puts their trust in Christ. He won't turn anybody away. I get tired of hearing on the news, quite honestly, that Christianity is non-inclusive. That's baloney. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in Jesus Christ will be saved, will be made right with God, whoever. That's a pretty inclusive statement. But we have to come to God on his terms and his way. And that means we need to let God break our pride. We need to let God humble us, and we need to come to him in repentance for our rebellion against him, and ask him for forgiveness. That's what the cross was all about. And so, let me bring you through this. Look at this. This is from Proverbs 7, by the way. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How would you put that in a little bit more modern language? The fear that's being talked about here is not a cowering fear. Kimmy? Reverence, right? When we understand who God is and that he's holy and we're not, that he is God and we're not, then we're on track for a humble reverence, which the Bible calls the fear of the Lord. And that's the beginning of wisdom. Why is it the beginning of the wisdom? Because now we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, you know better than me. Direct me. Show me what to do. Show me how to live my life in a way that glorifies you. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. That's wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Whenever I do a Bible study, when we do the theological school on Wednesday night, it's never to fill heads with just knowledge. Knowledge is useless if it's not applied, right? Wisdom is applying the right knowledge to the right circumstances. That's what wisdom is. And when we do that and we take God's wisdom and apply it to our lives, man, it's good. Now listen, it's good, but it's not easy. You know why it's not easy? Because we are going to then become countercultural. Can't be helped. You know who was the biggest countercultural person that ever lived? Jesus Christ. Biggest countercultural person that ever lived. And if you look what he did when he walked this earth, he repulsed against legalistic religion, religion that thought you had to earn God's love, religion that taught that you're never good enough to earn God's love, and that's true, but they would say you have to work, you have to keep every letter of the law. Let me tell you, nobody could even keep the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are given to point us to our own sinfulness and our need for Jesus, who died for our sin in our place. That is so key and so crucial here. And when we understand that, we can come humbly before God and say, okay, Lord, your word will direct my direction, the path of my feet. Your word will bring light into my life and the life of others. And so, to him belongs eternal praise. And that's it. That's the end of the psalm. So, here's what I'd like to do in the time we have remaining. I'd like to just open it up. You can share if you want. If you don't want to share, that's okay, too. You'll have to stay after school. But, no, I'm only kidding. I want you to think of something for which you would thank God, not because of something he's done for us, but thank God because of who he is. All right, can we do that? All right, does anybody want to take a shot? Yeah, Tommy. Hey, I'm in. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is that our every breath is controlled by him. Amen. Right? All right. Anything else? Okay. Kim? His faithfulness. Even when we're unfaithful, his faithfulness. George? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Doc? Yeah. Yeah, you know, he says, look at the lilies of the field. You know, they're adorned so beautifully. He provides for that. How much more is he going to provide for you, right? Chip. Yeah. 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 Anybody else? Sharon? Right. Right. Mary Lou? Unconditional love. Yeah. You know, as parents sometimes, and I know we have some young people here tonight, and, you know, every young person, we all went through this. We go through a stage from about 12, 13, usually till 25 or 30, where we think our parents know nothing, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, when you get married, you start a family, and you find out your parents weren't so dumb after all. Not that we're perfect, okay? We make mistakes, but that's wisdom. But here's the kicker. God is our Father. If we know Jesus is our personal Lord and Savior, He's our Father, right? And there's times we think that we know better than God. Isn't that true? And when we take a situation and do it our way rather than God's way, we mess it up even more. But even just like a loving father, he's a perfect loving father. When we mess up, when we screw up, he still loves us. That's unfailing love. And he loves us to the point where, what would a parent do if you did something really stupid? Right? Usually some sort of discipline to, not to break you, but to correct you, right? And God will do that with us. His discipline is always to restore us, never to break us. And that's his unfailing love. Right? Anybody else? Janine? Yeah. His protection. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I have a feeling we're going to find out a lot when he calls us home and we find out what he protected us from. Right? Anybody else? Kids? Kristen? His mercy, his grace, right? I'm really grateful that he's all powerful. He's all powerful. He's more powerful than whoever sits in the White House, right? He's more powerful than Congress and Senate. He's more powerful than anyone. He's all-powerful. I'm also grateful that he's all-knowing. Nothing that happens in this crazy world takes him by surprise. And he is willing to get us through this craziness if we lovingly obey him and walk in his word, by faith, right? So he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's all-present. I'm going to tell you a pet peeve. I hate calling places anymore. I hate calling places because you always get recordings, right? You know, press one if you want to do this, press two. They bring you the whole menu. And usually none of it applies. And, you know, press 8 if you want to hear it again. No, I just want to talk to a person, you know? Yeah. It's all monitored. I'll tell you a cool story about that, too. And here's the thing. God is all present, right? He's never too busy for us. He'll never put us on hold. He'll never say, hey, hold on, you know, I got to take care of this first. Or we just had an instance where Mary Lou called a company, and of course the recording says somebody will call you back. Guess what happened? No one calls back. Still waiting, right? God doesn't do that to us. He'll answer. He may not answer the way we think he should answer, but he'll answer. And I praise God for that. God is never in a rush. Never. Neither should we. We need to slow down and enjoy God. So I really thank God for who he is. Anything else? Oh, I want to tell you a story about that. There's a friend of mine. Some of you know him. I'm not going to mention his name. He was having a problem with his computer, so he called service, and the guy put him on hold, and he said to his wife, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Put me on hold. He's never coming back. Guy gets back on the phone. He says, "Sir, I could hear you." he thought that he couldn't hear him. And of course, he apologized. But God is never busy for us. Because of the cross and the resurrection, you and I, who are Christ followers, can come before the throne of grace 24/7 with anything. Small, big, he's always willing to hear, always willing to direct us. And so we have a lot for which to be thankful tomorrow. So whatever you're planning tomorrow, I hope you have a good meal. I hope you enjoy family and stay safe, but always remember that the blessings come from God. Even our families, right? Family can be tough sometimes, but even our families are a blessing from God. Amen? Amen. I hope you really do have a Thanksgiving. Would you stay and do one more song with us? Okay? I'll ask the ladies to come up. The men... The name of the song is 10,000 Reasons. And it's 10,000 Reasons to Bless God. So listen to the words carefully if you don't know this. It's really great. Thank you. really do want to thank you for coming out tonight. You encouraged me, and I thank you for that. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Let's pray.